All right, ladies and gentlemen, always great to have him on. I haven't spoken to him. We always discuss during the electoral seasons as far as breaking it down. No one better at it. One of the great political gurus in our region, also part of Millennial Strategies. You know him well. Jeff Guillot. And we say a very good morning to Jeffrey with two young lads. How is that youngest one?
Good morning, Jake. Good to be with you. My little guy, Rhodey, kept us up a little bit last night, but I got him off the daycare about 5 minutes ago. So I have what every parent dreams of, a quiet house to himself.
There you go, Rhodey. And, of course, let's not forget Lincoln James, who has to be about 3 and a half right now, I'd say.
That's right. Turns 4 in July, Jay. Very good memory.
How about that? A wild guess.
Like a steel trap, this Jay Oliver.
I'm telling you. Well, listen, I'm always up for the challenge. And if somebody texts me at 12:04 on a Friday morning, as early as it is, and I was in sweet dreamland, you know, listen, it's always good to discuss. The big announcement yesterday, you heard him with Lee Zeldin, announced it first on Fox, and then came right back to us, first radio station in the state, to come on with us and announce and whatnot. So overall, we knew he was considering it very strongly. And, of course, with all the events happening in and around Albany these days, why not let the party begin? So give me the GEO assessment of it all. As far as Lee Zeldin throwing his hat into the gubernatorial fray, and it will be a fray. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, Jay. Interestingly enough, I was watching the Zeldin announcement on Fox News yesterday morning, and I started texting you saying, you know, I'd love to talk to you about this. This is a super interesting topic. My phone rang. Something happened. And I never was able to fire off that text message until I was about to go to bed and saw it in my draft last night. I was like, oh, you know what? I should still communicate this thought to Jay Oliver. And now here I am 8 hours later talking to him. But yeah, the 2022 gubernatorial race is going to be fascinating for a wide variety of reasons. Obviously, you've got an imperiled incumbent governor. You have the whole notion of the fourth term curse sitting out there, something that, of course, plagued the incumbent governor's father. And then you have the national question of, you know, how does the Republican Party rebrand itself nationwide in the wake of Trump? Or how does it not rebrand itself in the wake of Trump? Lee Zeldin's candidacy, I think, speaks to the notion that at least here in New York, the Republican Party's position is, we're not going to rebrand ourselves after Trump. We're going to adopt, you know, the same MAGA talking points that lost statewide resoundingly in 2020, and see if that can work in a midterm year when our Republican hasn't won New York statewide in a midterm year in a very, very, very long time. So I think that, you know, Zeldin enters this race with that deficit. While Trump narrowly won the first congressional district in 2020, and while he was able to win his district with 53% of the vote last time, that does not mean necessarily that voters in Nassau County, New York City, Westchester, Albany, Rochester, and Buffalo are going to want to support a guy who has never admitted that Joe Biden, you know, lawfully won the election, who voted to decertify the results of the 2020 election, and so on and so forth. I think that Zeldin's loyalty to the Trump brand has been, you know, well litigated on your air. I don't know if we have to necessarily get into that. But I think that the important thing to understand, too, about why we're doing this at this moment in time and why you've seen him throw his hat into the ring here is that 2022 is a redistricting year here in New York. So this is the once every 10 years process where the state legislature will redraw the district lines for the state assembly, state senate, and Congress, which is a ridiculous and stupid process that the states do this, but yet here we are. And New York State is going to lose population. Therefore, we're going to lose seats in Congress. And it's widely rumored, especially because the Democrats control all of state government now, that either Zeldin or Elise Stefanik in upstate New York or one of the more Trumpy firebrand members of Congress is going to have their seats either become more blue or we'll get lumped in with another member of Congress. And I think, you know, that's why you're seeing Zeldin and perhaps others across the country make moves like this, understanding that their seats are going to be imperiled. So there's so many fascinating factors in play with this.
You know I love you. I've known you a long time. I couldn't
I do love you.
Disagree with you more, and I'll tell you why, my reasons. And,
love
you
it.
Know, I was a little skittish when Zeldin's name was first popping up about a possibility here because of the very reasons you stated. Blue state, the whole thing. But as time has gone on, I think timing is everything. And I think it could not be more right than at this point in time as far as Lee Zeldin is concerned. And I say that for a number of reasons. I say that because, well, first off, I don't even think Andrew Cuomo will be a factor as far as fourth term. I don't even think he's going to run. I think the heat is going to get too much. The nursing home deal is getting worse and worse. The cover-up is even worse than we thought it was with this Department of Health starting collecting this key data a full year ago, okay? Even as it kept everything in a very secret state in defiance of everything going on as far as the FOIL is concerned, Freedom of Information Law, but that's a whole other thing. I just think the scandal is going to get worse and worse and worse. And listen, you have impeachment probes and everything else brewing. We got the sexual harassment, more details of coming out, people going public now. That's only going to get worse, I think. 9 women right now, I've lost count. So I think Cuomo won't even run. I think he's going to step away, not necessarily be ousted via impeachment, because I don't think that'll be the case. I just think that it's going to get so hot for him that it's going to be, you know what, I'm done politically. And I said this when everything came out, that he was politically done a while ago. Okay? First and foremost there. I also believe that even though if you tell me Joe Biden won New York by 61% to Trump's 38, give or take there, that's true. Okay, now he will have to overcome a blue state without question, but let's give it some real thought here. It was done. It was done way back. Anybody remember George Pataki? He did it. He did it about 19 years ago.
I'm so grateful to have George Pataki.
Okay, because let me finish up. So in essence, it can be done. And being the state that we are in, which has never been worse, New York, in my opinion, and I said this yesterday, it has never been worse. I said it to Joe Campola yesterday. It has never been worse, Jeff. Never been worse. This state is in such bad shape. I don't even know if it can rebound. With all that is happening, bail reform, taxes, $18 billion. People leaving the state, they can't afford to live there. They can't. They're leaving. So in essence, I was kidding around with Zeldin yesterday. I said, listen, if you're elected, you're going to govern less people. Because it's not going to be the same amount. People are leaving every darn week. It is unbelievable. It is impossible to live in New York. It is impossible with the taxes the way it is. It's just such failed policy, one after the other, after the other, after the other. You couple that with the safety issues. You couple that with what de Blasio has done to the Big Apple. You couple that with what Cuomo has done to the state, not embracing the enforcement situation, safety numbers, murders, gangs. Come on, Jeffrey. I love you, like I said in the beginning, but I disagree with you. Lee Zeldin has a tremendous chance of occupying Albany. There is no question in my mind. And I will tell you objectively if I didn't feel that way. But he has a tremendous chance as far as everything that has gone down in New York over the last year and a half, sir. That's my take.
So Jay, I'll tell you this. If within the next 2 months I see a credible poll that has Lee Zeldin beating, like, chalk Democrat, any Democrat statewide in a poll, I'd be shocked. One, you're not going to get an argument from me on the current state of the Democratic side of this race, right? Obviously, there's some flux here. You don't know what's going to happen with the governor. The fact that you have Zeldin and Andrew Giuliani and, you know, whoever else in this race also means that they're going to spend, you know, the next year and change categorizing Tish James, who would be the likely Democratic frontrunner if there were not a Cuomo, as a radical who's unfit to who can't win outside of New York City. So those are legitimate problems. Yeah, I'm really glad you brought up George Pataki, because I am not of the mind that a Republican could not win statewide given the conditions that you've laid out, right? Obviously, the budget with its quote-unquote millionaire's tax is going to give the highest income tax rate and the highest business tax rate in the country here in New York. While that's something that's popular with voters in some places, I do understand that money drives politics and it's going to be a problem. And if I'm the New York State Republican Party, I look at the electorate here in New York and I look to find a candidate in the cut of a George Pataki or a Mike Bloomberg. The Republicans can win statewide in New York if they find a guy or a gal who is socially tolerant, who is decent on issues like gun control and on immigration, who can talk to people and win votes in places like Queens and Westchester and Rochester. That's not Lee Zeldin. Lee Zeldin's positions on immigration are so far flung from the mainstream, it's laughable. This is a guy who wants to criminalize abortion. This is a guy who wants to institute unlimited conceal and carry laws in New York State. In Lee Zeldin's New York, you'd be able to carry your AR-15, to the Statue of Liberty, to the Empire State Building if you wanted to. This is not a guy whose viewpoints are congruent on a wide variety of issues with New York. And that's
Long Island, Jeff.
There's probably 100 photos of him standing with Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene that aren't going to be very popular. I would urge a Republican statewide to find someone a little bit more moderate, who did not spend the last 4 years cozying up to Trump, and maybe you'd have a shot, because your gripes are legitimate about the economic state of affairs in New York.
As bad as ever. Jeffrey, and let's face it, let's be honest. If it weren't for Lee Zeldin during this pandemic, Suffolk County right now would be in the Long Island South. I mean, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind. So, all this stuff as far as alignment with Trump and everything else, let's not forget, this guy was a hero. He secured dollars that normally would never be secured because of his inroads that he made in Washington. I mean, let's be honest. Inroads that he created with Steve Mnuchin, inroads that he created with his son-in-law, Jared. Listen, they're real. Now, a lot of people might not sit comfortably with that, but the facts are the facts. He got dollars that could not be secured in Suffolk County without those relationships. He will go down in history as far as being one of the more influential congressional leaders Long Island has had based on the work that he has done during his pandemic. So all this nonsense as far as Trump and, carbon copy and this and that and Air Force One, and come on. I don't want to hear it. Because right now, the road that Joe Biden is going on right now and everything else, wow, be careful there. Be careful, because he's setting his own standards, my friend. And let me say this. Andrew Cuomo's policies have put this state in such peril right now. And I'm not just talking from an economic sense, because economically, we were done a long time ago. But I'm talking from a safety point, okay? Because look what has happened regarding the bail reform stuff and everything else that he said. He could wait to close doors on that Monday. I remember it as if it was yesterday, signing executive orders, shutting the door of the chamber, sign, boom, in place. And look what has happened right now, Jeff. Look what's happening right now regarding the cannabis laws, okay? And if you don't think there are going to be ramifications regarding that, also you could have a streamline of $350 million in place because your failed policy cost this state millions, zillions of dollars. So let's face it. Let's legalize the recreational use of cannabis because it's an easy way out. And I tell you, a lot of these leaders in around the island that were against it and are now for it because it's a money grab for them, or to be ashamed of themselves. Ashamed, because you're going to see some big-time ramifications of what happened here, especially on the roads, okay? Like, we already have a drug problem, I do believe, okay? That will only be accentuated even more. So that's a whole nother deal. But let me tell you something. Please don't give me the Donald Trump alignment nonsense. I don't believe in that, based on what I'm seeing right now.
I would love to come back on your show and debate the merits recreational cannabis legalization with you at some point. That sounds like that would be a bucket of fun. We should do that. Point two, I'm not going to disagree or dispute the fact that Zeldin did his job and was able to deliver funds for his district during the pandemic. That is true. And you know what that's good for? That's good for carrying Suffolk County with 52-53% of the vote in a general election. I don't think he would lose his home county in a hypothetical against a generic Democrat. But then you go to Nassau County, and you go to the five boroughs, and you go to Westchester, and you go to Albany, and you go to Rochester, and you go to Buffalo. And I've just rattled off 90% of the state's population, and none of those places would tolerate a guy with that worldview. It's just not going to happen.
I'm not going to fully disagree with you on that, because that is a concern of mine. How will he function within the city limits, Mohawk Valley? And listen, you make a viable point. Okay, but here's the deal, because November 8th, 2022 is still a ways away, and he's got a lot of work to do, without question. He did a lot of research. Lee's a smart guy, okay, a very smart guy. He did a ton of research. He spoke to a lot of people. He would not have done this if he didn't think he had a chance. Now, he did research into those areas, and he feels he has a chance, and that's why he's thrown his hat in the ring. Listen, he is not leaving his congressional post for this without knowing or thinking that he has a viable chance. There's no question in my mind. So, listen, I agree with you. There's work to be done. There's minds to be changed. And I think he has a big opportunity, okay, a huge opportunity on this early April day of 2021 to turn some minds into play as far as the GOP is concerned. I think there's a lot of factors. I think the way the state has gone, I think there'll be no Cuomo. I think you'll have new blood in there as far as opposition all the way around. I just think the way things have gone about the business as this state is concerned, I think people realize it. It's not all about blue, blue, blue and thick and through. It's about mindset and change and what's needed. And if we don't right this ship, it'll never come back. Never. And I think that's why many who have gone away that blue path could be thinking differently here. With a new agenda and everything else in play. Lee Zeldin's a young guy, low 40s. He's got a lot of energy. He's got a big presence. And listen, let the games begin, I said. Let the games begin. I absolutely feel, though, Andrew Cuomo will not be a candidate for the fourth term. I have felt that way for a very long time, as these scandals have been breaking. I think he has tarnished himself beyond reproach, as well as the Democratic way of doing things in the state. I firmly believe that, sir. I'll give you a final word. Go ahead.
I'm not going to disagree with your points about the governor. He's certainly not had a great couple of months. But if you look at some of the recent Quinnipiac polls that have come out testing his popularity, if you were to hold the Democratic primary in New York State today, I think he'd win. There is not a viable alternative that has emerged to him yet. And I don't know if it can be James. I don't know if it could be Kathy Hochul. I don't know if it could be somebody else. But what I do know is that when you've seen Republicans succeed in blue areas here in New York, right? New York City has been governed by a Republican mayor for, 20 of the last 30 years. It was someone whose social worldview was different than the congressman from the first congressional district. Someone who was not so aligned to the most radical part of the Republican Party. If Republicans are going to win statewide, they have to be open-minded. They have to be a variant from this MAGA Matt Gaetz wing of the party, and that's just not Lee Zeldin. But this has been a fun discussion. I do appreciate it.
Hey, listen, you're welcome to any time on the show. You know that I get all points. Listen, everybody, I invite them all. And listen, I invite you back for more of this discussion. And by the way, there's more interesting races to be broken down as far as 2021. Fascinating stuff. I do want to get into the Kate Browning deal in the third legislative as far as term limit, not term limit. We'll get into that as well as the marijuana situation is concerned. Will you come, sir? Will you come back?
It would be my exquisite pleasure.
Love to the family. Rhody, Lincoln James, the wife. Stay well, stay safe. We'll talk soon.
You got it.